the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We are back. Jordan Heath Rawlings and James Sharman ahead in the show, and then it's time for Baseball Central at noon with Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler sliding in alongside yours truly and Joe Siddle. The Jays starting their final series of the season tonight at the Rogers Center against the American League East champion Baltimore Orioles. Drew Hutchison on the mound for the Blue Jays. First pitch set to fly at 7:07 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Sportsnet. The Philadelphia Eagles will take their undefeated record into San Francisco on Sunday, one of the NFL matchups that we're following with particular interest. The Eagles, I don't know if you'd say a surprise 3-0, but they're a team that certainly has the NFL's attention of their opponents, attention of the NFL in general. Mike Missanelli is the afternoon drive host on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. You can follow him on Twitter at MikeMiss975. Mike Missanelli joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Jeff.
So, how good are these? How good are these Eagles?
I don't have any idea.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. You know, we're looking at this team right now. They're 3-0. Most of the power rankings have them right behind Seattle as far as the strength in this conference. But when you look at it, they're a team that has had a lot of flaws and has still been able to win games. And if you look at the games, the Colts game was a really good win for them, but they needed two monster plays by Darren Sproles in that game. And as we saw Washington last night, you know, you kind of take the starch out of that win a little bit. And then they play Jacksonville. But they somehow find a way to win in every fourth quarter. And this just might be a byproduct of Chip Kelly and the high tempo offense that he uses that eventually just wears teams down, and they've got a little more in the fourth quarter to score. But this will be the ultimate test for him, I think, against the 49ers. Coming off a loss, home game in the new stadium. They lost the first game there. They're determined. They're angry. But the people in Vegas still think that the Eagles have a fighting chance in this because the line keeps fluctuating on this game.
Yeah, and I would think that, I mean, there's some familiarity between Harbaugh and Chip Kelly, between the offense and the defense. These are two teams that they know each other pretty well, and they match up. I can see why the line fluctuates because they should match up pretty well, shouldn't they?
Well, they do it different ways. Both of them, I think, rely first on the run and spin everything off of that. The 49ers are maybe a little more conventional. But you look at the Eagles, they haven't run the ball well. McCoy is not having a great year, and they don't really know what the deal is. But, it's hard to believe that they're going to rekindle this big running attack this weekend when they're going guard to guard, three new guys, including a center, which is really the most important position other than Jason Peters is a Pro Bowler. Jason Kelce is their most valuable offensive lineman. He's going to be out for a considerable period of time. They go with David Mulk, a former Michigan guy. They've got Dennis Kelly playing right guard, which means they moved Harriman's, the starting right guard, to right tackle. So they're all in flux right now, and Matt Tobin's going to play the left guard. I have no idea. It's funny that people really believe in Chip Kelly, and he gets that kind of respect. So the Eagles have a fighting chance to go 4-0. And if they go 4-0, you could really conceivably see them going into their bye with a 6-0 record, which I didn't think anybody here thought.
Why do people believe so much in Chip Kelly?
Well, he's got an innovation to him that I think has romanced the NFL and certainly the people of Philadelphia. They do things differently, and there's a lot of copycats that are looking to see how he does things with the quick tempo and the sports science and the quick practices and the music and all this kind of thing. And you got people writing the Wall Street Journal is writing stories about how he brings in college professors to teach the players different things that have nothing to do with football, but more to do with the mind. So I think people have bought in. Now, I think it's a little premature to put him up there with Vince Lombardi, but they were 10-6 last year, the team that overachieved, and they're now 3-0. So it's hard not to pay attention to what he's doing.
I guess the other thing too, when I look at Nick Foles and sort of where he's come from and where he is right now and how he's been able to handle all the demands placed on him by Chip Kelly. It's kind of odd to see a Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. I know at one point earlier this year, some people were wondering whether or not he had, the swagger or the, whatever it is you need to be the quarterback in Philadelphia. I just look at him and I just see a guy who looks so comfortable doing what he's doing. I don't care if he necessarily has any swagger. I mean, there are times where he almost looks like he's just almost a cold-blooded robot out there.
He's really an interesting study, and we are running a poll on our station's website. I'm on the record saying if I had Foles and Kaepernick, only two quarterbacks, which one would I take? Well, I would take Kaepernick every single time because his skill set, I think, is a lot more abundant than Nick Foles. But the people here, the poll has come out 83.6% to whatever the remainder is. They'd rather have Foles over Kaepernick because he has this way about him. And I think the people who are his detractors, for two reasons. Number one, he was a third-round pick, so there's not as much belief in a third-rounder as there is in a first-rounder. But the second thing is he's gangly. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of another quarterback in the history of the league who was that successful being a gangly quarterback. And gangly, what I mean is he looks almost awkward at times. When he moves out of the pocket, he moves awkwardly. But somehow he gets the job done. And, he threw a couple of passes last week where, that was one of the things the tractor said. He can't zip the ball in there. He zipped the ball in Matthews for a touchdown, and there were a couple of other plays. But he's strange in that the first two games he didn't look that great. He missed a lot of receivers. The third game of the year he looked a lot sharp, and I think he gained a lot of respect in his locker room. He got bashed all around in that game, especially when Chris Baker hit him on that play on the change of possession. And I think his locker room really saw for the first time the toughness in him.
Mm. Is the fact that there's going to there will have to be some juggling along the line, knowing that Chip Kelly likes that high tempo, up tempo offense, lots of plays. How difficult a transformation is that going to be for a quarterback to balance that with the fact that he's going to have some new linemen in there?
Well, I don't know because Kelly makes it a point to get those guys those kind of reps in practice, so he keeps those backups ready. They get more reps probably than anybody else in the league the way he runs his practices. But just the center position, I think, is real. The 49ers are your defensive coordinator. You just kind of shoot the A gaps on these guys right now. That Tobin starting to Beth Garber for the first time. Mulk, a center who he's a little smaller, but Kelsey is also small. But Kelsey really is a fast, quick center. Mm-hmm. And then Dennis Kelly. And then, Harriman's playing tackle for the first time in a while. I don't know. I see this game as a sort of a mismatch in San Francisco's favor with all the factors. But, again, this Eagle team has some kind of magic to it.
Mike, it was good of you to do this. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Jeff. Take care. Mike Missanelli is the Afternoon Drive host on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. And, again, the Philadelphia Eagles and their scraggly-haired, gangly quarterback, Nick Foles, going up against the San Francisco 49ers. It'll be Sunday afternoon's game. Jordan Heath Rawlings, Sportsnet Magazine, has graciously agreed to come in and join us. Continue our NFL discussion. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We put out an issue of the magazine, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah, and we were talking about yesterday, the 100-page guide to the 2014-2015 season. We had your colleague, my colleague too, I guess, Ryan Dixon, and talking about the magazine, which is a new, is on newsstands now.
You picked the right guy because he wrote half the magazine.
I was going to say, as Travis McKenzie, my producer, said, "Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff Ryan wrote." I thought, "Okay, that's fine." And Travis gives me this pile of paper, and I said, "You know, you didn't have to give me the whole magazine." He said, "No, that's the stuff that Ryan wrote." And I thought, "Oh, okay."
He's a prolific man.
I want to talk about the NFL with you, but before you do that, I want to talk about your piece on the Detroit Red Wings, the brain drain, as it's called, how the Red Wings alumni are now running several teams. And you asked the question, has it cost them some of what made the organization special? And it's an interesting take, because organizations, there in every sport, there's this sort of element of mentorship, and it's a matter of pride if you're a head coach and you have a bunch of assistant coaches coaching around the game. If you're an organization, your assistant GM moves on to become a GM. You know, Billy Beane, I mean, it's almost like he's had a philosophy trickle down through baseball from guys who worked for him. But it is kind of interesting. You almost reach the point where you wonder if, especially now with Detroit, because we're kind of at a crossroads with Mike Babcock, you wonder how much of what made Detroit special is left. I mean, Ken Holland's still there. But if Babcock were to go, is there enough of that DNA still there to allow the Red Wings to have the success they've had?
Well, one thing that that's interesting is the one guy that hasn't gone anywhere is Håkan Andersson, who is their overseas European scout. And he's the guy that oversees the staff and gets a lot of the credit for finding the Zetterbergs, Datsyuks, and now Nyquist and Tatar. And so they sort of, one of the things they definitely haven't lost is that pipeline of European talent, these guys that they can pluck in the third, fourth, and fifth rounds. So that's still there. But it is, I mean, the idea for the piece came from looking at football, where you always have these coaching trees, right? Like Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick, and you can just sort of look and see the people they've tutored go on and run their own teams. And I just took a look around, because I noticed, as a lot of people I'm sure had, when Jim Nill went to Dallas and had so much success quickly, and Steve Yzerman obviously turned around Tampa Bay in a hurry, and then Shanahan got hired. Now, Shanahan played for the Wings. He didn't work for them. But it's the same sort of institutional knowledge, you know, the way you treat people that I think he's really trying to bring to Toronto.
Well, the article, I mean, the graphic points out Bill Peters, Carolina's head coach, Brendan Shanahan, we already talked about, president of the Leafs, Paul McLean, Scotty Bowman, senior advisor of operations, Jim Nill, as you mentioned, and Todd McClellan. It's, it's a pretty wide group. It's a wide range. It's also an interesting, it's kind of an eclectic group in some ways too, isn't it?
Of
individuals.
We did that for North America, but if you look overseas as well, Brad McCrimmon, who passed away in the plane crash, went over to run Lokomotiv Yaroslavl as their head coach, and Sergei Fedorov is now the GM of a KHL team. Igor Larionov did some time as the GM of a KHL team. So it's something that's always been there, and I don't know, to get back to your original question, how long you can keep going on and keep losing all the best minds in your organization and be successful, especially when not only do those guys go, they then come back and loot the organization, right? So Jim Nill took a couple of their North American scouts, their head of North American scouting. And those are the kind of things, like losing the people at the top hurts, but when, you know, the cogs in the machine start going elsewhere, that's when sort of the infrastructure might fall apart.
You can follow Jordan Heath Rawlings on Twitter for NFL analysis at The Game Sheet. All right, let's shift focus to the NFL. We just had Mike Missanelli on from the Fanatic in Philadelphia talking about Nick Foles and how he's like he said, they ran a poll on their radio station, and I know Mike's been big on, you know, the question was if you would call in Kaepernick and Nick Foles, who would you take? And Mike said, I was very clear, it was going to be Kaepernick. I thought most people would look at it and say, yeah. 83% of the respondents in Philadelphia said, oh, yeah, we like Nick Foles. We want Nick Foles. 83% of the respondents, you know, and I got to think that Nick Foles probably isn't sitting there and hitting enter all the time. But are we seeing the development of a guy that people are going to start cheering for? I mean, maybe even non-Eagles fans, because you watch the guy on TV. He, as Mike said, you know, he's gangly, he's got scraggly hair and all that. He doesn't really look like a quarterback. But at the same time, I watch him play, and it's almost like you're seeing a guy who is looking around and going, I know there isn't anybody else out here who has any confidence in me. But me, I got confidence in me. So I'm just going to go out and make this work.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'll say? The caveat on Nick Foles is, and I like Nick Foles. I think he's really good, and he's been playing very, he had a rough start to the season. It looked like he was kind of regressing, but he really came on strong in the last game against Washington. The one thing I will say is that Mark Sanchez looked like a star in the preseason in Chip Kelly's system. And, you know, Mike Vick, before he got hurt 8 million times and turned it over to Nick Foles, he also looked fairly good. And it's a fair question, I think, to ask. You know, I don't think Nick Foles is a bad quarterback, but he might be just a very quietly competent quarterback who is in the best offensive system in the NFL.
Right. So I was going to say a little bit like, I mean, not to compare him to Alex Smith, but Alex Smith is kind of, he's a perfect guy for Andy Reid's, you know, no mistake, keep it simple.
Right.
Let's do everything, all the little things right. He's a perfect guy for that.
And
you're not asking him to go out and win the game with 7 50-yard passes.
And Nick Foles is not going to do that either, but
right.
he will find, they got a lot of, a couple of good receivers on the in the running backs in McCoy and now Darren Sproles, and they've got Macklin's come back really healthy off that ACL injury. It looked like he was going to be slow coming back, but he hasn't really missed a step, and Jordan Matthews is a promising rookie. It's kind of, they've got a lot of guys who can make a quick, short passing game work. You know, they don't have DeSean Jackson anymore, but they're not even using Riley Cooper to stretch the field, really. They're using him to block. So it's very much an offense designed to keep it moving with quick hits, and Nick Foles is excellent at it.
Who faces a must-win this weekend? I know it's only week four, but
49ers.
49ers.
Yeah. I went down to San Francisco for a story for the magazine in the preseason, and the new stadium was beautiful, and everything just kind of felt off.
Really?
Know? Yeah. The people around the team were just kind of saying, you know, oh, it's going to be great, it's going to be fine, but then you watch them in the preseason, and just there was the little things that have made that team so successful, like being right there on the blocks and hitting their receivers right out of the starting gate. That's another offense that's built on, you know, perfection in the quick strike. And the running game didn't look great. And of course, they've had, you know, some turnover. Ray McDonald's
right.
facing problems now, and the defense is banged up. And it's one of those things where you just kind of got a feeling that maybe they'd been trying to get over that hump for 3 years, and they just got tired of running into it. And now they're 1-2 and facing a really good Eagles team. And if they go to 1-3, you don't recover in that division.
A team that has a bye this weekend, the Cincinnati Bengals. We had Dave Lapham, their TV analyst, on last week, and talking about the Bengals and how Bengals' perfect world obviously is to go into the bye week after a win, be undefeated. And have they been one of your, I know a lot of people have rated them pretty highly, but are you surprised by what you've seen from the Bengals so far this year? Even with the record, just the way they've played, does that surprise you at all?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what, I'm not super surprised by their record because, you know, they've had a schedule that they should
they
win.
They should win. But the way they've done it,
they've been fun to watch, which is something I never really thought I would say about that Bengals team. Like, they've really, Hugh Jackson's come in and just put in a bunch of trick plays. They're taking advantage of Sanu's passed as a quarterback, and he's making some throws. When Andy Dalton caught a touchdown pass on the weekend, it's the kind of thing that you're not expecting that kind of stuff from the Bengals. They're supposed to be, you know, a northern team hitting hard, grounding it out on the run game, and they have been doing that, but they've also not been afraid to get creative, and I think that bodes really well for them.
What do you expect from the Bills this weekend in Houston after the loss to San Diego?
It depends on how much the Texans can get after EJ Manuel. If they can get a lot of pressure on him, I think you see him regress. I wrote on Sportsnet.ca before last week that if they can protect EJ Manuel and let him manage the game, use him almost like Alex Smith is being used in in Kansas City, it's one of those things where he can be kind of effective in that. They've got a strong running game and they've got some good receivers, but when that pocket collapses, his accuracy goes out the window. And J.J. Watt is going to get into that pocket on Sunday. And if Manuel can't figure out how to either get rid of the ball or at least complete a check down, it's not going to go well for the Bills.
One of the things that's surprised me about the Bills, even with that loss to San Diego, and I admit maybe I just haven't followed the Bills that closely, but I'm starting to get the sense that there are a lot more playmakers on that team than people maybe originally thought there would be.
Yeah, they've got
a lot of good athletes. They've got a lot of guys who, if E.J. Manuel can get the ball to them, they have a lot of guys who can, speed alone will allow them to make plays.
Watkins and Woods have the potential to be a pretty dynamic wide receiver duo if they can get a quarterback who can get it to them in stride. I think you've seen Sammy Watkins he's had one game where he Manuel was on target and he racked up a lot of yards. But I've seen, and I'm just trying to rack my brain here, I think I've seen three or four plays from the Bills this season where Watkins just shook his man and was right there and was open, and the ball was 5 feet behind or 5 feet ahead or 5 feet over his head. And if they can figure out how to connect on those plays, they're going to have the kind of, especially with C.J. Spiller, who's always a threat to sort of take it to the house, you're going to have that kind of offense where teams don't know what to stack up against. Because if you empty out the box, C.J. Spiller can burn you. And if E.J. Manuel is on target and you don't double cover Sammy Watkins, you're going to have problems.
Jordan Heath Rawlings of Sportsnet Magazine joins us in studio. What's been your biggest surprise and your biggest disappointment through 3 weeks so far, now that we're into week four?
Biggest disappointment is the Packers. I really thought...
More than the Bucks, even?
Yeah, the Bucks are a tough one because they've just been a joke. They're entertaining, at least. You can start your fantasy players against them.
That's a pretty good call.
But the Packers, I really thought, with a healthy Rodgers and a healthy Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, we're going to come in and really slay teams on offense. And maybe it's just that the Detroit Lions defense is that good. They certainly got after him last week. And their secondary was better than expected, which has not been a hallmark of the Lions in recent years. But I really thought that they'd be racking up the points. And they just, with the exception of a couple of quick bursts, they really haven't. And you wonder if it's just because they haven't figured out the ground game, so there's no space opening up for the wideouts. But I thought they would be at least 2-1, probably 3-0 by now. And if you want to talk about a team facing a must-win game, the Bears are 2-1, Packers are 1-2. And if the Packers don't win, they're going to be behind the Bears and the Lions.
There are 26 teams that are 2-1 or 1-2 right now in the NFL, which would suggest that there's a fair amount of parity right now in the NFL.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Is there a 1-2 team that you think could really go on a roll and really take command of its division? Is there a team out there that's 1-2 that you think is just ready to break out?
The Colts, by virtue of also playing in probably the easiest division in football. They got a Titans team this week that's likely going to be without Jake Locker, so they'll be starting Charlie Whitehurst or maybe Mettenberger. But that's a team that should be dominant this week, and they're at home, and Andrew Luck is the best quarterback in that division by so much it's not even fair to measure it. And you look at their schedule for the future, and it's filled with a lot of teams that you really think that if Luck is on, they can roll over. The Packers, too, obviously, if they can win this week and get on a roll, can stomp that division.
Jordan, it was good of you to join us.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Jordan Heath Rawlings of Sportsnet Magazine. Again, the Sportsnet Magazine, the all-hockey special is out, a 100-page guide to the 2014-2015 NFL season. It is on newsstands now. It was on newsstands yesterday. And you can follow Jordan on Twitter at The Game Sheet. It's a fine Twitter handle.
I took it a long time ago. It was prophetic.
Oh, you've had it for a while.
I've had it for a while. I started this like 5 years ago. Yeah.
That's outstanding. I like the foresight. That's tremendous. I'm surprised it's...
I'm waiting to sell it.
I was going to say that's... I'm looking at this thinking, God, that sounds like a... I'm surprised some gambler didn't, like some odds maker didn't grab that sucker as soon as possible.
If Vegas wants to call, I will answer it.
Jordan, thanks so much for doing this.
Anytime.
Take care. It's Jordan Heath Rawlings of Sportsnet Magazine. And when we come back, James Sharman, our Soccer Central analyst, will join us. We'll talk a little football European style and also preview tomorrow's TFC Portland match. Back with more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Trending now on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Jays end up sweepless against Seattle. Still think Kirk Cousins is the answer in Washington? And Matt Harvey showed up at the Yankees game? Yeah, it's going to play well in New York. It's all trending now on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And right here a few minutes ago was the 2014 Honda Civic.
Nice!
It's Canada's favorite car. And during the 2014 Honda clear-out, the Civic DX can be leased from just $39 a week at 0.99% and zero down.
Oh, man, that is a good price. What color was it?
It was blue.
Oh, my favorite.
Get them before they're gone. The 2014 Honda clear-out. On now at your Ontario Honda dealer. Includes freight and fees for 60 months. Taxes extra OAC. See HondaOntario.com.
Tax Solutions Canada solves tax problems. Our team includes ex-CRA audit, collection, and enforcement experience. Taxes not filed? Didn't include all your income? Use a voluntary disclosure to avoid unfair penalties. You get one shot to do this right. Tax Solutions Canada. Call for a free consultation. 1-888-868-1400. 1-888-868-1400. Or go to stopthecra.ca.
Whether you want to admit it or not, winter is only a few short months away. Time to get your gear stored away for Canada's toughest season with DuroShed. DuroShed is the most reliable, most durable choice on the market. DuroShed offers custom-built quality sheds at big box prices, from tool and storage sheds to full garages, built specifically for your storage needs. DuroSheds last a lifetime and look great, installed by seasoned pros you can trust. Get winter ready. Visit DuroShed.ca. That's DuroShed.ca.
Factory here. Sales event. How big is it? Whoa, consider it authorized.
It's the factory authorized 7-day clear out at your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram retailer. 7 days you can't afford to miss. Get a 2014 Ram SXT Quad Cab 4x4 for less than $27,000. Or step up to the Crew Cab 4x4 with more comfort, more storage, and more options for only $20 more bi-weekly. But hurry, the 7 days are over Friday. See your retailer today.
So, who will you lose your weight for? When you finally commit to losing weight and getting healthier, every relationship, personal and professional, instantly gets better. I'm Harvey Brooker. Try my test drive, 5 classes of Harvey Brooker weight loss for men for just $199. Do it. 5 classes, just $199. Call 416-222-9887, 222-9887, or go to harveybrooker.com. If you can do it alone, you
subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's going to be quite a Friday roundtable on Baseball Central at noon. It'll be yours truly, Joe Siddle, Buck Martinez, and Pat Tabler. It's going to be great. I'm actually going to be able to give the voice a bit of a rest. It is a big weekend of footy. Every weekend's a big weekend of footy. You've got a couple of derbies. You've got the Merseyside Derby. You've got the North London Derby. And you've also got Toronto FC playing the Portland Timbers. And again, as a public service announcement, remember that the Gardner is closed from the 427 to the DVP effective 11 o'clock tonight. So you don't want to be driving down the Gardner 40 minutes before kickoff to try to get the TFC's match. We had Tim Bezbachenko, the general manager of TFC, on yesterday. He was reminding people, and the instructions are on TFC's website as well, to get to the match as early as possible. Bezbachenko had the best idea, frankly. Find a place to park around Liberty Village. Grab something to eat, maybe pound a dozen or so beer, then walk to the soccer match. Makes perfect sense to me. I wonder if James Sharman's going to be doing that. Mr. Sharman, how are you?
I'm doing great, yes, great. And yeah, don't drive down at all. It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare always, at the best of times.
It's always a nightmare, especially this weekend.
How big is this match for TFC?
It's massive. It's just huge. I mean, we know what this team has done in recent weeks, and it hasn't been good. You know, there's talk of turning the corner against Chivas last weekend. And listen, you know, it's hard to judge that game because, yeah, they played well, but Chivas were absolutely awful, a terrible team, winless in 10, not good enough. So, you know, how far have they turned the corner? We're going to find out against a pretty good Portland team. And right now they're 3 points out of the playoffs, 3 points. They've got a game in hand. So just think about that. That is, you know, enormous. And if all goes right this weekend with other results, they could be very much back in contention, you know, for a playoff berth in those spots. So it's not must win. You know, I hate that term, must win. Mm-hmm. Must win is a mathematical game for me. You know, yeah, you have to win or you're out. But it's incredibly important.
Has Jermaine Defoe's return to Toronto, he's not in the lineup, but as far as we know, he's back in Toronto, has that maybe settled things down a little bit, do you think? Just seeing him in training, seeing him around the team, could that have some sort of residual benefit?
Yeah, I think it must do. I mean, they must finally see some light, you know, at the end of this murky tunnel, because they know that in this league, one or two star players can be the difference, perhaps more than other leagues. And we've seen that so far this season. When Jermaine's playing, when he's healthy, he scores goals. As simple as that. And when he's not there, they have difficulty scoring goals. And, you know, I think these players, they're professionals. They know that next season's a brand new season and Jermaine may or may not be around. Probably not. But as he said over and over again this past week in the press conference, he's committed to the playoff push. You know, Jermaine Defoe, love him, hate him, he is a professional, he wants to play football, he is committed to the playoff push, and let's, you know, just look at this from, you know, the short term. They need him, and I'm sure those players, pretty young team as well, and bear in mind some very young players, you know, breaking through this season, enjoying good campaigns, and they want to see, you know, their leaders, their best players there as well. I think absolutely that will build confidence. But they need to see him on the field first. And it's all very well training with him, but he's not available this weekend, probably next weekend in L.A., which, you know, he better be, because that's going to be a huge challenge, obviously. But, you know, until he's actually on the field, it won't have a huge effect. But certainly, I'm sure they're a little bit easier now.
James Sharman joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I want to talk about the two derbies in a minute, but your column on sportsnet.ca, your Q&A, the first question the first observation involves Southampton. Of course, there's kind of a Canadian angle to that, and that the team president is Ralph Kruger. We interviewed him when he was in Toronto over the summer. Look, they were a team that there's two ways to look at Southampton. Southampton, I think James is kind of, there are a lot of people's second or third favorite team, right? Because they're kind of a team that does it. They sort of do it the right way with the academy and, you know, and bringing up young players. And there were two ways to look at what they did. One, during the transfer window, during the offseason, the first way to look at it is that they were just absolutely gelding themselves. The other way to look at it is they were just taking advantage of the fact that people were paying silly money for young players. Yeah. But I think what we all agreed is that whatever the reason behind the philosophy, it was going to be a difficult season for them. Yet here they are in second, playing. There's still an entertaining side to watch, even with guys like Lallana not there. I know it's early, but how is there any chance Southampton can sustain, maybe not second place, but sustain fifth, sixth, someplace in that area?
It's so difficult, because I was thinking about this past week and looking back to this time last year and the year before that. And there's always great stories in the first few weeks of the season, always. But then, you know, some of these go as far as Christmas, and then reality hits, and before you know it, these nice stories are in a dogfight for survival. And I honestly don't know. I really don't. You know, I'm with you. In the off season, I thought, wow, what are you doing? You're selling, you know, four or five of your key players. What are you doing? How can you survive by doing that? But if you delve deeper, you realize that, just like you said there, you've got to sell when the value is high. And in this modern era of financial fair play, a club like Southampton, which isn't a tiny club, it's a mid-sized club, but they can't afford to pay these emerging players what they'll expect to be paid in a year from now or 2 years from now. So, you know, it's just not, it's illegal. You know, you'll be banned for doing that. So you look at, you know, Adam Lallana, you mentioned him, he's at a perhaps an all-time high. He's not a young player. He's a player entering his prime now. So you can get £25 million for him now, you do it, because you're not sure the past year or two was a bit of a, you know, a bump in his career. So that's what you do. But they bring in some good players, and Ronald Koeman, the coach, not really well known in UK from a management standpoint, but has done the rounds in European football. He knows what he's got, and he brings in a player like Graziano Pelle, who's got 4 goals so far. In the last 2 years in the Dutch league, he's scored 50 goals in 57 games. He's prolific. You know, he knew what he was getting with him. Dusan Tadic, again, another guy playing in the Dutch league, guys we don't know about, but they've done a great job. So maybe they can, you know, maintain this form, but you're right, not second place, not top four. If that team finishes top half of the table this season, after what happened this past summer, there'll be a lot of people, including myself, eating humble pie.
James Sharman joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We'll have the Southampton versus QPR game at 9:30 on Sportsnet 360. A couple of derbies this weekend, James. Liverpool and Everton being one of them. What is going on with Tim Howard right now?
Well, you know, is it hangover from the World Cup? I'm not sure what it is. The team as a whole has been struggling, and defensively they've been just abysmal. He's made a couple of glaring mistakes, and he was so good, obviously, at the World Cup. He was very good, in fairness, last week in the Europa League as well. He did a typical Tim Howard performance, made about, you know, 7 sensational saves, and then on the weekend had a clanger. I think he'll be fine. It happens, but the team in front of him is not playing well either. Yeah, Phil Jagielka, who's been, you know, the statuesque solid defender for the last couple of years, has been dreadful as well. Everton's a funny team. You know, last year they really surprised a lot of people with a new manager coming in and playing a brand new style of football. It was you know, full of flair and ball control, great passing, but they maintain that defensive solidity as well. But as I mentioned before, it's still early, and boy, is that a phrase we heard a lot in this city, you know, in recent months. But it goes, you know, the same as that can be said overseas as well in various leagues. You know, they'll figure it out, but some new players coming in there, a couple of key injuries, I think they'll be okay. But yeah, Timmy Howard, he's again, he's not a young guy, maybe he's over the hill, but I don't think so. I think he'll be just fine.
What do you think happens in the North London derby?
Well, you know, is it going to be interesting? Spurs brought in obviously so many new players last year. It didn't work. They brought in a couple of new players this season. They are what they are. They're going to be fighting for probably fifth or sixth in the table. I'm not quite sure if Pochettino's got his message across yet. He's a brand new manager from Southampton, actually. It'll take some while for that team to gel and understand what he wants in that high press as they play. And as for Arsenal, well, you know, last week, lo and behold, Arsene Wenger decides to play Mesut Ozil, the £42 million man, centrally, and it works. He plays great, you know, and the pressure's off. He scores a goal and gets an assist. So, assuming, you know, he plays him centrally and someone else learns to tackle behind him, I think they'll win this game. But the derby is always, you know, a tough one to guess.
You know, Tottenham, I saw a bit of Tottenham in the Capital One Cup. They started a lot of their regulars, and they just looked abject at times. Like there was nothing going forward. You know, everything was a pass back or a pass to the side. They really looked tentative, which, you know, and Pochettino's team in Southampton, I mean, they weren't tentative.
That's right. You know, it's funny that team, they've had so many managers in recent years. The players' heads are just spinning around their shoulders. Like, what is happening? You know, and there's always a new manager with a new system of play. So if you compare Pochettino to Tim Sherwood last year, and of course AVB, they're very different systems. And, you know, Pochettino, if you watch those same teams last year, like I mentioned, a real high press, full of energy. You know, they were at teams. They were attacking them. And a lot of those players on that Spurs team come from the European leagues. They're far more of a patient type player. They'll build up slowly through possession. And maybe it's an adjustment, but I think he's a very good tactical manager. He's got to work out perhaps the man-manager standpoint, you know, to get these guys on side. But I think they'll be okay. But, you know, do you really want a team where your vice-captain is Emmanuel Adebayor? It's a problem. It really is, because that is not a leader.
On Saturday, we'll have at 9:30 a.m. on Sportsnet World, Hull City against Manchester City. 9:30 a.m. in Sportsnet Ontario, Manchester United against West Ham. Sunday, it'll be Barclays Premier League and Sportsnet West Brom against Burnley. Robin van Persie telling reporters yesterday that Man U held a, quote, hour-long inquest after the 5-3 loss to Leicester City. They spent a lot of money. They're great to watch going forward. They're a lot of fun. That might be the worst. That might be the worst back line in the Premiership. Honestly, it might be the worst.
It's dreadful. It really is. And poor old Tyler Blackett, this kid, he's emerging this season. His first season, really, with the first team. An absolute nightmare, you know, dreadful game, and everyone's pointing at him. But when you point out the manager and the guy ahead of him, the CEO, who didn't bring in a defender, or a good defender, you know, they've got 9 injuries again this weekend. They've got 3 of their starting 4, or 3 of their 4 centre-backs in their books are injured. Marcos Rojo's the one healthy guy. He's just arrived. I'm not sure if he's really a centre-back. He's probably more of a left-back.
Mm-hmm.
It's calamitous. It really is how they built this team. But what I will say to any neutral out there or anyone that's not a fan of Man United is enjoy this while you can. Really embrace it. It's wonderful to watch because it's not going to last forever. Louis van Gaal will get this thing sorted out, and it may not be this season. They'll have to spend some more money in the off-season. I think Gary Neville, I think it's him, he said that.
Mm-hmm.
This team needs to spend another £150 million to become a contender. So another 150, but obviously in defensive players. So enjoy it while you can. It's going to be turned around, but boy, they are fun to watch. And defensively, shambolic, but going forward, man, they are just purring.
They're going to have to spend money in defensive players, but what do you make of all this talk about Cristiano Ronaldo and United again, which is just...
It's interesting, isn't it? And, you know, a year ago you'd say there's no chance, but just if you look at it, he's going to be 30, I think in February. So.
Mm-hmm.
So forget a January transfer. You know, this would happen, I would think, next summer. He's going to be 30. Yes, he's arguably the best player in world football right now. He's played superbly. But at what point will he kind of hit that bump and see his career, you know, take that slow route down to normalcy? It could happen in the next, you know, season or two. So if you're Real Madrid, you're thinking, well, we just signed James Rodriguez, who really needs to play in Ronaldo's position, but he can't because Ronaldo's there. He's going to be with us for 10 years. Ronaldo's 30, his value is still very, very high. You know, it's knowing when to sell the top players, right? And, you know, Man U are legendary for doing that, at least Alex Ferguson was. Maybe now's the time. United's desperate enough to throw money at anyone right now, let's face it. And I can see a fit there, I really can.
James, it's good of you to do this as always. Should be a fun weekend.
Should be, Jeff. Thanks, mate.
Take care. That is James Sharman of Soccer Central. Again, just to give you a rundown of the matches we have on Sportsnet. Saturday, Sportsnet World, 7:45, St. Mirren against Celtic, Scottish Premiership Soccer. Celtic no longer just sort of ruling the roost, the Scottish Premiership. 9:30 on Sportsnet 360, Southampton against QPR. On Sportsnet World, it'll be Man City against Hull City. And at 9:30 on Sportsnet Ontario, Manchester United. The train wreck continues. This time it will be against West Ham United. And then Sunday at 10 a.m. on Sportsnet World, we'll have Barclays Premier League action. West Brom against Burnley. So that's it for the Jeff Blair Show this week. Baseball Central at noon is just around the corner. It'll be yours truly, Joe Siddle, for his final appearance of the year. Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler as well. Stay tuned for Baseball Central at noon, everybody.